Father, as always, I thank you because every time I stand in the message of the Lord, I always remind myself and the people that the entrance of God's word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Lord, I thank you for that light today. Let it shine once again in our hearts, bringing us more and more unto the perfect day. Glory to God. And we thank you for all good things that you have given us richly to enjoy. Blessings and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to get ready. The Lord has this good news for you today. Something new is coming your way. Hallelujah. Now, let me go right to some scriptures to encourage us. Then I'm going to say some things point blank that the Lord wants me to give you. We start at Isaiah 42 and verse 9. And the Lord promised, and the way that I like to put it, you know, is, well, God is always cooking something. And can you smell it? You know, Isaiah 42 and verse 9. The Lord will tell us this, and this is where we kick off today's message. Let's believe the Lord and let's hear what he has to say unto us today. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Well, why does the Lord tell us of things that he's going to do? And sometimes the Lord often tells the people what he's going to do, like he'll say tomorrow, you know, or something, and he will just tell them. Well, he'll tell them so that, you know, when it comes to pass, you will know that it wasn't happenstance or just a chance. It was what the Lord already declared. You know, said, well, you know, I've done some things in the past for you, but now I'm going to do something new. Glory to God. Something new, you know, and I'm going to tell you what that's all about in a bit. But let me first lay this foundation. Something new is coming your way. Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19. And the word of God must be mixed with faith in our hearts. Even though you've heard it before, every time you hear it again, you can draw new treasures out of his word. Remember ye not the former things. Well, you know, neither consider the things of old. You know, don't live in the past glories or whatever God has done. And even the bad things. Bad, good, whatever. You know, we recall them only to praise the Lord. And only to strengthen ourselves. You know, if there were previous victories, then we use that to strengthen ourselves for the present conflict. Like the victory over the lion, the victory over the bear would give David strength, you know, for, you know, prepare to go against Goliath. And even if it was something not so good, it doesn't matter. The Lord said, look, that was then, basically is what he's saying here, but this is now. I will do a new thing and it shall spring forth. And shall you not know it? That's why I love to say, well, he's cooking it. Can't you smell it? You know, can you smell it? The Lord is fixing a new thing for you. And when it's ready, he's going to serve it. Jesus himself said, look, I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's ready, I'm going to come and take you and put you there. You know, and you know, God loves to do new things. From Genesis to Revelation, he was always talking about doing something new. You know, that's what he does. Something new. And God doesn't want to be remembered as, you know, the Lord that did this thing way back when, and that's it. No, he always wants to do something new. Even all the way clear on to the book of Revelation 21. And this is almost at the end of the book. And you can read it in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I mean, there's always something new that the Lord is cooking. You know, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And also on and so forth. And he said, I heard, you know, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now, that's something new. Coming down from God out of heaven as a bride prepared and adorned for her husband, you know. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, now this is something new. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will now dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, again, this is something new. He will wipe away all tears. Some of you have been crying. You know, sometimes, you know, we cry over things that have happened and so forth. Well, in this new place that God is bringing us into, there will be no more crying. Hallelujah. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be even no more death. Now, that's something new. There shall be no more sorrow. That's something new. There shall be no more crying. That's something new. Neither shall there be any more pain. That's something new. Pain. Some people have pain. I mean, some of us have been living with pain in our bodies. You know, it's kind of like pain management. You know, you just, you know, you deal with it. You know, you put it under somehow. You don't let it bother you. But it's there. But, you know, this thing here that God is revealing, he said, it's something new. Pain is gone. The former things are passed away. And listen to how he said it in verse 5. And I love this. This is what he does. And I, you know, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Right, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Woo! Isn't that beautiful? Now that's, you know, from the beginning, clear on to the end, God's always doing something new. You know, but let's see some other things that God can do for us. There are times that our life are messed up and in pieces or shambles, chaos, and so forth. You know, God in the beginning, he saw the chaos. You know, because the Bible said when he began to call the earth forth in the beginning, it was just out of kilter somehow. It was void and without form. And it was chaos everywhere. And God didn't like that. And the Holy Spirit began to move and began to call new things forth and put things in order. Hallelujah. But you know, sometimes our life goes back into chaos. And there are some people who, you know, lives just attract chaos. You know, instead of everything going smoothly, things are always out of kilter. But listen to the revelation of how God showed it to Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, in the first four verses, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah and said, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do here. I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I will show you my word when you get there. So Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. Glory to God. And when he got there, he saw the potter making a work on the wheels. Well, the potter was doing what he does, making pottery. That's what a potter does. He was making pottery. And in verse 4, of Jeremiah 18, and he said, and the vessel that the potter made of clay, as he was making it, was messed up in the hands of the potter, was marred, which means messed up, was bent out of shape. Now, this potter, he was something, so he was skilled. I mean, he knew his business. He knew how to do this thing. But this one vessel, for one reason or another, you know, did not conform to the shape that the potter was trying to make it. He was trying to do it this way and do it that way, but it was all messed up. It was all bent out of shape. So he made it again. Hallelujah. He made it new. A new vessel, even as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Now that's what I call a Holy Ghost makeover. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost can make over a life that's bent out of shape, that's chaotic, that's out of kilter. He can make it again as it pleases him. He's the Lord. Glory to God. And so he made it again into a new vessel. Now, if that's you this morning, you may not be right here in the room right now. Maybe you're listening later on. You're listening to the replay, and there are things that are out of order in your life. Things are, you know, your life seems to attract chaos. Things are upside down, and things are not going the way they should. Turn it over to the Master, and let him make it anew. And if the Lord said to him, "Can I not do with you as this potter?" saith the Lord. "Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, even so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Glory to God. And he can do that new thing. There is a new thing that God wants to do. And we must not be satisfied with the status quo. Hallelujah. You must not be. There was a man that was not satisfied with the status quo. His name was Gideon. And in the book of Gideon, chapter 6, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, gave him a salutation, which might have pleased most people. But it didn't please Gideon at all. You know, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, you know, "Thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee." Now, many people, their head would have swollen with that kind of salutation, you know, and say, "Wow, I'm a mighty man of valor. Wow, the Lord is with me," and so forth. But this man, he was not satisfied with this status quo. He wanted something new. Hallelujah. And he said, "Well, you know, if the Lord be with us, like you said, then why is all of this befalling us? Why am I in this, you know, quagmire? You know, why? Why are we having to hide from the Midianites? Why are the Midianites stealing our labor? After we thresh the thing, they come in and swoop down and get it from us. And we have to hide in this corner. If the Lord be with us, show me something new." Glory to God. Where be all those things we've heard before? I mean, why are we not seeing it now? He was not satisfied with the status quo. And the angel of the Lord looked at him, and the Lord said, "My goodness, I love that fire. Woohoo. I can use that. Hallelujah. I can really use that." Hallelujah. Now, is there someone in the house today that will not be satisfied with the status quo? You know, some people said, look, you know, where is the glory of the Lord? In Haggai, they said that. Have we seen this house in its former glory? And what does it look like now? It looks like it's in ruins and in shambles. And Lord, where is all that power that you promised? Where is the promise of the latter rain? Where is the promise that the house, the latter house, will be greater than the former? And you know, some people, they're not satisfied. They're stirred up in their hearts. And they say, "Lord, show me something new." Hallelujah. Well, when you say, "Show me something new," he is the God of new things. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. The Lord invited Jeremiah and you today. "Call up to me and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know." New things, not the former things. Well, former things are good, but I'm going to show you something new. You know, and I guarantee you folks, I don't care what you've seen from the Lord. He can still show you something new. Because that's who he is. You've heard me give the illustration all the time about taking a bucket to the ocean. You know, whatever you've taken, there is more where that came from. And there is something new that God can do. And I got good news for somebody in the house today. There is something new that is coming your way. And that's even beyond what you are praying for. That's something beyond what you are expecting. Something new is coming. You know, and I said the other day, you know, in the other lesson, I said, look, just because when we were doing Destiny and Destiny Helpers, I said, you know, just because you didn't prepare for it, doesn't make it any less your destiny if God says so. And God is going to bring something new. There is somebody in here that's listening to this. Otherwise, God wouldn't tell me to bring it. Something new is cooking for you just around the corner. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go into this here and tell you how some people that were not satisfied with their status quo, just like this Gideon wasn't satisfied, how they wanted something new. And the Lord is the one that can show them that something. And he did too. And let's look at some stories. You've heard these stories before, but wait until something I want to say at the end of this. And this man, Enoch, you know, he's got to be one of my favorite characters in that Bible. I talk about him all the time, even though we don't hear much about him, but I love him because he was somebody that would not be satisfied with the status quo. And Adam said, we are waiting to die. But the Lord said, we are going to die. But Enoch, he wanted something new. Woo-hoo. He wanted something more than just sitting around and wait to die. You know, he wasn't going to sit around and just wait to die. I mean, he was somebody that said, I shall not die, but I shall live. And I will declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to press towards that light. I can see that light shining way up. And you know, they had been removed from that light. The farther the Lord pushed them out, and the farther they got away from the Lord, the dimmer that light became. You know, that light became dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You know, and they went more and more into darkness. And the life, see, light and life go together. Death and darkness and sin, they're on one side of the spectrum. Righteousness, light and life are on the other side of the spectrum. And when we come into this world, we come in from the left-hand side, which is where death, sin, you know, this mystery of iniquity, death and darkness. That's where it's raining, you know, but, you know, over way clear on the other end of the spectrum, there is the eternal light and life, you know, and when people begin to experience it, the Bible says that Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. When you experience the taste of that light and then you want more, the closer you get to that light, the farther you get away from the darkness and death. Hallelujah. And there, you know, the rate at which death and darkness was catching up to everybody, this man, he figured out how to outrun and outpace that. Glory to God. You know, and he did it too. He wanted something new. I'm not going to sit around and wait out around to die. And
right.
He said, son, I'm sorry. That place is closed. The cherubims, the fire, the sword, they are there. The way to the tree of life is closed. You cannot get in there. I'm sorry, son. That's it. It's over. And Enoch said, no, I'm going in there one way or another. Or what's in there is coming out to me. Glory to God. He wanted something new and he got it too. My goodness. You know, and, you know, Moses, he was a man that had seen tremendous power. I mean, he called out frogs, lice, you know, locusts, all kinds of things, creative miracles. that even the magicians and the soothsayers said, "Now we can't match this one. This is the finger of God." You know, and he did incredible things. Even that parting of the Red Sea. But yet, at one time, he looked back and all of that and said, "Lord, show me something new. Show me thy glory." He began to pray in Exodus 33. After all of that, he still wanted something new. My goodness. There are many of us that haven't even seen a tenth of what Moses saw. And we are satisfied. We shout the victory. We shout the glory. We've seen the light. We've seen the fire. We've seen the move of God. And that's it. But this man, after all that he saw, he wanted something new. "Show me thy glory, Lord." He was, you know, crying for that glory. Are you telling me that all that he saw, all that he did, up to even the parting of the Red Sea, was not God's glory? He wanted something more. "Show me thy glory, Lord." He would not settle, you know, for has-been stuff. "I want something new." Glory to God. Now, Elijah was a man that experienced the presence of God. He said, you know, "These things shall not be except by my word, by the word of the Lord, before whom I stand." I mean, he was already standing in the presence of God. He knew how to walk with God. He knew all of these things. He experienced even the still small voice. I mean, he saw the thunders, the lightnings, the earthquake, everything. And finally, he experienced the still small voice. But no, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted something new. He wanted something new. And many of us don't know it, but he was talking about it. He was talking about it. You know, you have to read between the lines. He was so talking about it that even the sons of the prophets, everybody knew what Elijah was expecting. Because he was saying, "I'm going to get something new. The chariots of fire are coming for me." Glory to God. You know, and they knew it too. You know, it was not, you know, they knew it. And everybody said to Elisha one day, "Do you know that your master," because they were the sons of the prophets, they've heard it from Elijah. He had said it multiple times. "Do you know that this is the day?" And the Lord's going to take your master away from him and say, "I know it. Keep your silence. Don't tell me anything. I know it too." Glory to God. And you know, Jesus, he was the same way. He was always saying it. You know, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again." And he was always saying it. He was speaking that thing out. Hallelujah. He was acting it out even before he came. You know, that's how he had strengthened himself and encouraged himself in it. And Elijah, you know, everybody knew it. And one day he experienced something new. Something that nobody, well, we don't know how Enoch actually went. But this man, my goodness, you talk about somebody with power. You know, God's going to send a whole entourage to get him. Bring him up here. My goodness, he's coming in the chariots of fire. The chariots of fire and the horsemen thereof. My goodness. Elijah, he was a man, you can't shut him up. You can't kill him. You can send 50 people to kill him. He'll call down fire. You can do all of these things and so forth. But, you know, he still wanted something new. My goodness. And, you know, just to prove it, you know, he's going to go in chariots of fire. This man, he loved to make an entrance. And he was going to make an exit too. You know, chariots of fire. Something new. My goodness. And he experienced it. Glory to God. You know, the disciples of Jesus, they went out 2 by 2 and the 70 and many of them. And even in Acts, I mean, Luke chapter 10, he sent them out. They had tremendous power. They came back. They said, "Look, the demons and all of these things, they are subject to us." And Jesus said, "Well, that's good. But what you should really be shouting about is the fact that God celebrated you in heaven even before the world began." You know, and he told them, you know, and they were, you know, they'd done all these things. They experienced all these things, but yet they needed something new. Huh. They needed something new. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in the upper room. The heavens split open. My goodness. A mighty rushing wind. And those cloven tongues of fire appeared and split on each one of them like that. That was something new. They've never experienced that before. They've been with the master, around him, hang around him and everything. They cast out devils, do some of these things and so forth. You know, but for them to see that cloven tongues of fire, for the experience that rushing mighty wind, that power which Jesus said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. That was something new. And they experienced it too. Glory to God. You know, Philip, he was a man that was chosen to serve tables. Now, this was not Philip the apostle. This was Philip their deacon. And you can read all about him in Acts chapter 6. He was chosen with Stephen and five others to serve the widows and all these things. You know, but Philip, he was not satisfied. You know, he went out. My goodness. Well, he served the tables just like they told him to. And he served the widows and did all of that. But, you know, he wasn't satisfied. And he went out to a place called Samaria. You know, and my goodness, he turned that whole city right side up. Some people say upside down, whichever way, you know. The city was already upside down, but he turned it right side up. He come in there. He began to, you know, cast out devils. The Bible said in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6 that everybody in that city began to rejoice, seeing and hearing the miracles, you know, that Philip did. For devils and all these things with loud voice crying came out of many. And people brought all their curious hearts and they laid it down. And my goodness, this man was having something going on there. Yet, there was something new that he was going to experience, which hardly nobody could make a claim to. Well, at one time, the boat was immediately on the other side of the water when Jesus entered it. So one time they all experienced it together. But, you know, this is physical, bodily transportation. But Philip, he experienced it. Philip was like that Elijah man. He went down to the place. He left all of that. God said, look, I'm going to show you something new. What can be new? I mean, people are revival everywhere. You know, I mean, miracles happening. God, get out of there. Go into the bush. But he obeyed. And when he did, my goodness, he brought the gospel to Africa. Like, my lands. You know, there was a chance that, you know, Jesus one time visited Africa when he was a baby. But he couldn't do anything because he was only a baby. But this man, Philip, you know, he brought the gospel to Africa by him teaching this eunuch of Africa. You know, this lesson from Isaiah 53, he expounded it to him. My goodness. And that man went back, you know, gospel, everything, everywhere. And the Lord was pleased with Philip. He called him up. Supernatural transportation. And he went in another city. He experienced something new. Peter himself, in Acts chapter 12, after Herod had killed James, laid a hold of Peter and wanted to kill him as well, thought that he would bring him out after the feast and kill him before the people and so forth and make himself another name. My goodness, Peter would experience something new because the body of Christ were praying for him. And he was in that prison, held up, strung up all night. And to be brought up, you know, a couple days or so later, for to be killed by the angel of the Lord. Now that was sweet. The angel of the Lord to come upon him like that. Even James did not get that deliverance. Even John the Baptist did not get that deliverance. They died in prison. They were killed in prison. But Peter, he experienced something new. Now, God always has something new. Praise God. Now, that last but not the least, let me tell you something about Jesus himself. You know, Jesus, I mean, he knew what he came to do. But I tell you what, you know, he'd done a lot of things, forgiving one sin here and there. You know, he said to the man that was, his hand was to the palsy, said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Pharisees said, who can forgive sin but this man? I mean, but God. And this man blasphemes. And Jesus said, well, for you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the man, you know, stretch forth your hand. He healed the man. He'll forgive his sin. You know, they brought a woman to him in the middle of adultery in John chapter 8. He forgave her. So, you know, go and sin no more. And all of these things. And look, he turned around. He's done all kinds of things. Always brought grace to people when they've been condemned. You know, even the woman at the well, John chapter 4. You know, she'd been with five men, five husbands. Now, you know, divorced five times. And now the sixth one, she's not even a husband. She's just shacking up. And Jesus didn't condemn her. You know, reached out, you know, mercy and grace. I mean, Jesus had done all these things, you know, and even on the cross, he saved yet one more person. One of the thieves that were on the cross, he saved him right there. But for him, by his death, to save the whole world, not just one here and there, and here and there, that was something new. Glory to God. You know, and when he died, my goodness, it wasn't just one person here, one person there, you know, that he saved. He saved the whole world, you know, and except as many as believed it, he was done one time. He did it all, you know, and that was something new. For God to save all the condemned people of the world by the death of one man had never been done. They tried it. The Old Testament, they brought bulls and goats and things and bullocks and so forth. They couldn't do it. Every year they would sacrifice. The high priest would kill. They'd kill all these things, you know, outside. And then they'll bring the blood into the holy place. And he still couldn't do it. Year after year, they did it. Priest after priest, they did it. They couldn't do it. But for one man, hallelujah, hanging on that cross, you know, do it one time.
Come on.
Something new. For the whole world, he did it one time. That was something new. Nobody could get it done. Which is why John, when he was looking, God was showing him, you know, and he went in dimensions of back and future and all of that, you know. And sometimes that's how prophecy works. Got to take you back and future and everything, show you all kinds of things. And he looked and he cried. John in Revelation 5, because there was nobody. Nobody could do it. You know, he flashed in his eyes. He saw, you know, I mean, in a moment of time, John remembered all the high priests, every blood they had shed and gone into the holy place. And they still couldn't do it. I mean, all of that flashed in his mind in a moment of time. From the time that everybody's been trying to do this and couldn't do it. And right there, they're still there. And it still wasn't done. And he looked and he started to cry. And then, you know, something unfolded before his eyes. My goodness. And somebody said to him, don't worry about it. Don't cry. Somebody got it done. I'm going to show you who got it done too. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He got it done. And he said, wow. Let me see who this lion is. He turned around. He saw a bloody lamb. And that's how he did it. By the shedding of his blood, he brought something new, which nobody else could do. My goodness. And he got it. And he went and took that book. My goodness. He did it too. He brought so many sons to glory. It was an act that was new. A little here, a little there he had done before. But this time around, save the whole world one time. Now, as many as believe him now, you know, he's already done it. Unfortunately, the whole world won't believe it, but he's done it already. Now, let me tell you something new. Here's a prayer that we must experience today. And I got good news. The good news that God has for us is, you know, in all these categories that we've talked about, sometimes, you know, what is grace? What is grace? Well, grace is what the woman in John chapter 8 experienced. When they brought her and said, we found her right in the midst of adultery. Well, they didn't bring the man though. You know, that's how this world works. You know, I mean, you know, they're always, you know, doing one thing or the other. Yeah, it's a woman. Yeah, it's this. What about the man? You know, takes two to commit adultery. So anyway, they brought the woman. Moses said, we should stone her. What about you? And Jesus did not answer them a word. He did not answer them a word. And they said, did you hear us what we said? We say Moses gave us instruction to stone this woman. What say you? And he said, well, they said nothing. He just wrote with his finger on the ground. And each one of them, they looked, my goodness. You know, I don't think Jesus was playing with his hand, do you? That same finger of God that wrote the Ten Commandments wrote on that ground each commandment, the one that each one of them had broken. When they broke it, maybe it even did time, that name of their name and everything. Because he wasn't playing with his hand. He wrote it. And one by one, they looked at, my goodness. They said, well, and they laughed. You know, because they were convicted because of what he spoke and what he wrote. He said, well, the first of you that has not sinned, cast the first stone. That wasn't enough. And then so he stooped down, you know, and then he began to write, you know, convict them of their sin. And then one by one, they laughed. And then Jesus was left and the woman in the midst, nobody else. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she, has no man condemned thee? And she said, no, Lord, no man. And Jesus said, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, that's great. So when nobody else will forgive you. The religious leaders and religious systems of her day had condemned her to die. Grace. When nobody else would forgive you. That's something new. Hallelujah. They'd never seen that. She had to be stoned to death. The man on the cross. I was condemned to die. This one was even actually condemned to die. It wasn't that he was yet to be condemned. He was already condemned. He would be crucified. Was just bleeding out. But Jesus, he pulled it out again. Redemption! When it seems far too late. It seemed far too late for that man. But Jesus, the Redeemer, he pulled it out. Anyhow. Now Lazarus, in the grave 4 days, that was something new. Something new that nobody had ever seen. But he did it too. And he showed it to them. Glory to God. Now, here's what you need to say today. Show me, Lord, things that I cannot explain, but I've never seen before. Make me, Lord, into something that I cannot become on my own. That's right. Show me things that I cannot see on my own. Take me to the place where I cannot reach. Now, that's something new. Now, you guys, you know, you've got some victories. You know, you've done some conquests. You've achieved some things. But something new is something that you couldn't do. And then he'd take you there. Make me, Lord, into something new. Just like that potter. And he made it again. The Bible says in Peter that you are begotten again unto a lively hope. Hallelujah. Make me, Lord, into something new. Something new. Now, the church, the body of Christ, you know, and even in our individual lives, we've experienced many things. But there is something that we haven't experienced. Not yet. There is something that you have not experienced. And so the thing today is this. Not where you've been, but where you've never been. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not what you have received, but what you have never even entered into your heart. That's something new. Something new. Not where you've been already, or a place where you've never been. Not what you've already achieved, but what you never could achieve. Not even what you think or expecting, but something way beyond that that you could never even think of. Something new is coming your way. Hallelujah. Now, because he's the God of new things. He's not just the God of old things. That's why he said, look, yeah, I did all those things in the past. But now I'm doing something new. I am cooking something new. God is always cooking. I love to use that. Can you smell it, though? Yeah, well, you smell it, but you don't know exactly what he's bringing until he serves it. And ladies and gentlemen, I declare unto you today that something new is coming your way. You know, there's a song we used to sing, and as a young man, he said, Lord Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Something good is going to happen to you today. Well, something new is coming your way. Hallelujah. Now, I am going to pray over everyone that's in this room today that God will show you something new. And he will do something new for you. Something new. He already said it. And I declare it to you today by the word of the Lord that something new is going to happen to you. Something new is coming your way. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said to Martha, did I not say unto you that if you would as only believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, therefore, I say unto you that are in here this morning, can you believe it? The God of miracles and the God of new things spoken unto you today. The Rock of Israel spoke, and he said to you today that something new is coming your way. I dare you to believe. I dare everybody here this morning to believe God. Do you dare to believe him today that something new is coming? Now, it may be something old, but God has a way to make it even something new. He can take the same old lump and make it again as he pleases him into something new. Because the first time around, it was messed up. So he make it something new. Glory to God. And my goodness, your life that's not going quite just right, and it's all over the place, Jesus, he wants to tell you today that he's got something new to bring it all together. Picking up all the pieces and bringing new releases into your life. Just when you couldn't get it together, God says, I got something new for you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I call over everyone that's in the room today the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray for every one of you today. Everybody that I see in the room. You know, I'm looking in the listening lounge. I see Mrs. Parks. And I'm going to pray for you. The Lord will spark something new in your life. Hallelujah. Now, this is not something, this is not where you've been. This is something you've never been. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord bring Bongiwe into a new experience. Something you've never experienced before. I even see Brenda just joined us. Something new is coming your way. Hallelujah. Adria, now, you know, every one of you that may have experienced some good thing from the Lord before, but I say unto you, something new is coming your way. Lift up your head and expect that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I see TK, you are in the room, and it is timely for you. God brought you here for a reason, because he's going to release something new for you. What about you, gift? Hallelujah. Something new is cooking for you. That's right. You know, and you know, even when we are believing God for something, God has a way to surprise us still and still pull something new out of it. Why? Because he is the Lord. That's it. You know, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the heaven is above the earth, so far are my ways above yours. Glory to God. And listen, the man that was there waiting for the moving of the water, waiting for the angel and something, you know, because he thought that's how God had to do it. But that's why the way the Lord always did it. The only way for me to get my healing is getting that water, and I have to be the first to get in there after the angel stirred it. But Jesus said, today, you will experience something new. You know, we don't need to put God in a box of how this is how he always done it, and this is how he's going to do it. No, today, you will experience something new, Jesus said. Forget the angel and forget the water.
Amen.
Experience something new today. Hallelujah. Heather, my goodness. Woo-hoo. The Lord's already done something for you, but even something new is coming. Oh, yes. Something new in your family. Something new is coming. And can you not see it? Can't you smell it? The Lord said, he's cooking. My goodness. Raphael, hallelujah. It is time to expect something new. Not the old status quo. You know, Gideon was a man that was fired up. He wasn't going to settle. He said, well, you know, the Lord is with you, mighty man of war, valor, and all that. I said, well, you know, that's cool, but, you know, I want something new. Hallelujah. May you experience something new. And it's coming. You know, wait for it, saith the Lord. It is coming. Hallelujah. Tola, something new for you. God sent me here today for a reason. And after I gave this word, or gave the word, you know, he said, well, declare it over the people. Something new is coming for them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know, in your case, the finger of God that is writing on the ground is not the condemnation. He's writing on the ground something new that he's going to do for you. That's right. That's exactly right. You know, Sam, my goodness. Yes, there is something new that the Lord has in store for you. Something new. You're beyond the, you know, incredible things that he's already done. Moses, he said, look, I have seen the creative miracles. I have even seen the parting of the Red Sea. But yet, Lord, I want to see your glory. Woo-hoo. Something new is coming for you. Esosa, my goodness. The Lord has something new for you as well. Will you not know it? Can you not feel it? It's coming. You know, when you are waiting for the Lord, well, it's time for you to experience something new. Elaine, my goodness, something new is about to happen for you. Hallelujah. And you have faithfully trusted the Lord despite all odds. But now he will show you something new. Hallelujah. Something new is coming for you, Grace. And something new is coming for you, Kolapo. Now don't put the Lord in a box and think that this is how he has to do it. I got to do this and I got to do that. All of that is good. But God has something new that he is cooking. That is way beyond our understanding. Hallelujah. It's right around the corner. What about you, Oracle? Isn't it time for you? Jesus said, you know, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, my goodness, on such a day as this, receive something new. That's right. It's just around the corner. And if you can believe it, hallelujah, he can Amen. Surpass your thoughts. Lorna, yes, glory to God. There may be ups and downs, disappointments here and there. But I tell you what, God is fixing. So in as much as he brought you here today to hear this, there is something new. Don't worry about the old things. You know, God, and there is not a one, God is not a one-way traffic. And we can't put him in a box and say, well, this is how he's going to do it. No, you know, he has, you know, more ways than we can even think that he can do what he's going to do. And not just one aspect of your life. There's one aspect that you are focused on. Well, he would do that too, but there are other things that he would do for you. There is a new thing that he's calling for. I believe it with all of my heart. And shall it not spring forth? You know, he's fixing it and you are going to enjoy it in the land of the living. Glory to God. Alexis, well, you know, you say, well, they know my story and all of that. Well, yeah, but this is something new that he's going to do for you. It's not just that also, but he'll do that too. But you've heard the word of the Lord already on that. God has already celebrated you even before that. But there is something else too that he will do. You will hear a word behind your ears. He'll tell you too. He won't tell you all of it, but sometimes he'll give you an inkling, but it's coming. By this word today that I'm in here today, speaking over everyone that's in this room, it's coming. It is coming. Open your mouth wide, he says to you, and I will feel it. Glory to God. Sister Mary, I know you've testified multiple times and experienced different things from the Lord, but you haven't seen anything yet. The Lord said to Jeremiah, you know, I can take you to places that you've never been. Call on to me and I will show you my goodness. And you will experience something, not a place where you've been, but somewhere you've never been. Hallelujah. Something that you could never be on your own. That's what God's bringing your way. Stalola. The Lord has shown you great things, you know, and, you know, you've been an instrument in his hand. My goodness. But the Lord said, look, I will make you even a new threshing instrument. That's right. And yes, you know, you believe in God for this and that and so well. And God will do that. But I'm here to tell you today, not just that, but something new. Something new is coming your way. Favor everywhere. My goodness. You know, favor everywhere. You know, I think I played a song at the beginning of this room that said, favor. Favor is calling your name. Glory to God. My goodness. Do you believe it? Can you smell it? He's cooking it. Woo-hoo! Elijah said, well, I hear the sound of abundance. Nothing was coming. You know, there was no rain anywhere, but he was already hearing it. You know, can you hear it? Lola, can you hear it? Can you smell it? He's preparing it for you. Hallelujah. And it will be in the presence of your enemies. Woo-hoo-hoo. Pearl, that last statement is for you as well. He said, I've set a table before you. But what you'll see on that table is not what you expect. It'll be something new. Glory to God. In as much as he brought you here today to hear this, I declare it unto you by the word of the Lord. You know, that which you have said in your heart that the Lord must do for you. Well, not only will he do that, but he's going to show you something that you've never experienced. Open your mouth wide too, he said, and I will feel it. I will fill it with something new. Good things. Now, while you've already experienced a tremendous, you know, favor from the Lord, but it's nothing like you are yet to experience. The king's scepter. Hallelujah. Extended to you. Put your hand on it for something new. Woo-hoo. Something new is on the horizon for you, Julia. Oh, my goodness. You know, one time, Jesus said something. He said, in the same hour. Well, you know, let's start with that, you know, little thing that's been in your throat. Let's start with that first. In this hour, you experience that that's cleared up already. In this very hour. That's right. But there's a whole lot more. God is giving you good things. You testified for your husband, your children, and everything. But the Lord has something he's going to pull out that you have not yet experienced. You haven't experienced it. Yeah, you're hungry for the latter rain and all of that. Yeah, but God will pull you something. God's got something that you've never experienced. Not where you ever been, but where you've never been. Glory to God. That's where he's taking you. It's something new. Can you believe it? That's right. I dare everyone in this room to believe God. And honey, listen. Yes, well, you know, you've experienced the joy of the Lord and everything and so on. But you have not. You have not. I repeat. Been this place where God wants to take you. It's something new. And you know, Gideon could have settled for the proclamation that he was a man of valor and that he was a mighty man and that he was doing great things, but he didn't settle for it. And he said, Lord, if the Lord be with us, like you said, you know, then show me something new. Glory to God. Woo-hoo. My goodness. And I know my wife, you know, she prayed, you know, for all her children. She'd give her eyeballs for them and everything like that. But I tell you what, you know, I played a song at the beginning of this room today. He said, look, pretty much it's coming. That which you've been believing God for, even for your children. My goodness. And then some. You know, we parents, we love, you know, because the Lord said, you know, in Psalm, you know, 115, the Lord said to us that, look, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. So we always wanting the Lord to do great things for our children. And, you know, success is in succession, right? You know, we want our children to be greater than us. You know, parents always want that. You know, but I tell you what, there is something that God is doing and he is going to do. It's even beyond what you think. He said himself in Psalm 115 verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Well, it's not just your children now, because you're always believing God for your children to be increased. Now, can God increase you? Now, because he said you and your children, my goodness. Now, not something that you've experienced, but something you've never experienced. Not where you've been, but somewhere you've never been. Not where you could get to, somewhere you could never reach. Not what you could attain, but something that is out of reach. The Lord said, I should tell each of you in this room today that he's got something new for you. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, I declare by the word of the Lord today, and this word shall not fall to the ground. My words may not have been perfect, but the Lord will perfect it. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because we can only see through a glass darkly. You know, we can only speak in part. You know, I can only bring this message in part. But that great Holy Spirit of truth, he'll take that word and he'll expand it in your heart. you know, and he will show you things to come. Elijah, he knew it was coming. My goodness, chariots of fire, they're coming too. Something is coming for you. And if you align yourself with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said in John 16 and 13, he will show you things to come. He started it with this message here today. But he hasn't quite, through my words, showed you exactly. He's told you it's coming. But he, the Holy Spirit, he will show you what's coming. And you just align yourself with it. My goodness. Beginning today, your mind is clear. Hallelujah. To receive the inspiration of the Almighty for what is coming. Glory to God. Something is coming that you've never experienced before. In the spiritual, in the natural, in the material. Because God said so. It's coming on all dimensions. Hallelujah. God is not a God of one thing or one miracle. Continuous supply. My goodness. God is the God that can do that. He will never run dry. We draw, he will draw waters continuously from the wells of salvation, if you can only believe. Father, I thank you for everyone in the room today, and the word we have declared unto them by the word of the Lord shall not fall to the ground. And for myself also, glory to God, I'm not going to miss out on this. So I declare to, I'm going to declare to my soul also. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I declare to my soul all these same things that I have declared to everyone in this room. Bible says the husbandman is first partaker of the fruits. May the Lord also make me partaker of the same. I know it's coming. I preached it to myself before I preached it to you. Oh, yeah. And I'm looking for it. But, you know, the Lord will bring it from where you're not even looking. But be looking. But he'll pull it out where you're not even looking. That's how great he is. But he wants you to be expectant. Expecting. Hallelujah. Even Jesus. This tool today. Expecting until all his enemies be made his foes. Many of them have been. The last one is death. And at the end of the day, he's already done it in the spirit. But physically, it's coming. Glory to God. And we also beholding with open glass. Beholding us in an open glass, the glory of the Lord. We are changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're waiting. Ha, my goodness. Job said, well, I know my change is coming. I'm waiting for it. Hallelujah. And for everyone that's waiting for something new from the Lord. May the Lord do it and surpass even your expectation as we have spoken this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.